It's all the files of the whole park. It tells you everything.
Sir, he's uploading the virus.
Eagle One, the package is being delivered.
Amidst tanking economies, a mounting global death toll, and surging geopolitical tensions between the US and, well, everybody, there's another war taking place over the internet. Nation-state hackers trying to steal secrets, but these secrets are on any future vaccine candidate.
Tonight, as researchers race to develop a vaccine for the coronavirus, hackers from China and other countries are working just as furiously to steal that research to create their own.
In other words, it's pretty 2020 that spies are stealing potential secrets to ending the plague, and not nuclear secrets, missile tech, or stealth bomber designs. Motherboard reporter Lorenzo Franceschi Bicchierai is on the show to dive into reports hackers from places like China and Iran are allegedly after any COVID-19 related intel. I'm Ben Maku, and this is Cyber. Lozo, as we call you here on the Motherboard desk. I gotta tell you, I think this story and this whole concept is not something that I'm particularly surprised by as someone who's looked at geopolitics, espionage, and cyber warfare, for lack of a better term, for the last few years. But it does, there are emerging reports that nation-state hackers are trying to get whatever piece of intel they can on COVID-19. But also on COVID-19 potential vaccines.
Tonight, intelligence agencies from the U.S., Canada, and Britain say Russian hackers are at it again. This time, the Russians are accused of trying to steal research on COVID vaccines.
Yeah, I think you said it right. This is one of those stories where, like, some Twitter trolls will tell you, oh, yeah, water is wet, news at 11, whatever. And it's like, yeah, sure, you know, like, we expect government hackers to do this kind of thing, but it's still very interesting when we find out that they're doing it. And it's interesting to see what they're trying to do exactly. So in the last few months, there have been multiple reports that government hackers, mostly Chinese, but also South Korean, North Korean, Russian, Iranian, even Pakistani and Indian, have been going after all kinds of secrets related to how countries are dealing with COVID-19, the COVID-19 pandemic, what research organizations are doing to develop vaccines, any information on treatments. And I think that the way to look at this is that it's essentially a free-for-all. Everyone, you know, after January, February, March, every government's priorities changed dramatically. You know, if at the beginning of the year, every government had their own priorities, you know, maybe India was worried about the border with China. Maybe China was worried about the Uyghurs. Maybe the US was worried about, you know, potential Russian interference with the upcoming elections. Now it's all about the pandemic. You know, there's more than 300,000 people dead because of the pandemic around the world. The cases are still spiking in a lot of countries, and everyone is scrambling to contain something, you know, this unprecedented pandemic. So it makes sense that intelligence agencies all over the world are focusing mostly on COVID.
Yeah, and that's kind of an interesting thing too, right? It's like that sudden switch. Like, it really was the conversations around the 2020 election and what was going to happen next, what would Russia do? And suddenly this completely changes to how do we end this modern day plague? And then, of course, people then send, or nation states send, their spies after secrets to essentially, you know, it's the chess match of geopolitics doesn't end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it will be interesting to see in the next few years or even months if there will be reporting, or we'll be able to find out how this switch in priorities has affected other kinds of operations that are still relevant. You know, like, I don't think that the U.S. is all of a sudden forgotten about the Iranian nuclear program, for example. But, you know, even governments like the U.S. that have a lot of money and a lot of resources to do this kind of cyber espionage operations, they probably have had to, you know, scale down other operations, and they're probably not prioritizing them anymore. So yeah, maybe we'll see that governments are getting away with other stuff because everyone is just too so worried about COVID.
Well, that's what's interesting too, is because, like, of course, the U.S. came out and basically accused Chinese and Iranian hackers of going after these types of COVID-19 intelligence mm-hmm. that are out there. But, you know, in both cases, there's definitely been a precedence for Chinese hackers, for example, going after everything.
The report tonight lifts the veil on a kind of invisible war, China unleashing its full spy power on American power grids and the wealth of American manufacturing.
From, you know, Benjamin Moore formulas for corporate espionage to then take and reproduce themselves, to pharmaceutical recipes. I mean, even Iran, I remember I broke a story a few years ago how they were caught, some Iranian hackers were caught going after Canadian, American, and British institutions mm-hmm. or universities and going after healthcare, health science intelligence. Mm-hmm. And everyone was sort of like, well, what's the point of that? And now I guess it makes a lot more sense. I mean, it made sense to us and to myself then, but now I think people understand that when there's sort of this legacy of hacking and going after these kinds of targets, this is why nation states do it. And in times mm-hmm. like right now, it's even more important to be able to have those capabilities.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's important to remember that this kind of industrial espionage, if you will, is not new. Especially China has been, you know, infamous for going after all kinds of industrial secrets, like, you know, Lockheed's jet designs, pharmaceutical companies' secrets and research, even universities. Iran is the same. You know, all these countries that perhaps don't have the same level of, you know, advanced technologies are using cyber espionage as a way to shortcut to get, you know, to get to catch up with countries like the US or the UK or other or European countries. So yeah, as you said, I think that the most concrete example of this in the last few months is the accusation from the UK and China. The accusation from the UK and the US that China is targeting all kinds of organizations, both government organizations like you know, the CDC, international organizations like the World Health Organization, private companies like Gilead, and their focus is collecting all kinds of information about COVID treatments, testing, and vaccines. And the U.S. came out, the U.S. and the U.K. came out with a joint statement about this and essentially told China, stop doing this because we see you. And I think what's interesting here is that, you know, we, as usual in the world of cybersecurity, we don't really know what the U.S. and the U.K. are doing, mostly because they are better, I think, at hiding their tracks. And also because we often forget that most of the cybersecurity industry has Western connections. So there's a, you know, there's a lot of interest in from companies like FireEye, CrowdStrike, to, like, you know, highlight Chinese or Russian operations, but not so much interest in discovering or highlighting operations from the U.S. and other Western countries. But I think I'm sure that, like, the US and the UK and European countries are doing the same. You know, they're probably also keeping an eye on Chinese research facilities and Chinese government response to the virus.
Yeah, and I mean, Gilead being the company that makes remdesivir, which is a treatment or medical treatment, a medicine that can be used to lessen the symptoms of COVID-19. I think it also it reduces the chances of fatalities.
Very early results from trials of remdesivir suggest this HIV drug actually might treat COVID-19.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to correct myself from earlier. The Gilead was targeted by Iranian government hackers, according to a report from Reuters earlier this year. It was in China. And yeah, It makes sense, right? Like, this is the one of the few treatments that so far seems to have any measure of success against this virus. Gilead is an American-based company. So Iran, which is one of the countries that was worst hit at the beginning and has very limited resources because of the sanctions, was likely looking for any kind of information on, you know, whether they can get this treatment or maybe reproduce the medication on their own. It just makes sense that, you know, they would be interested in that.
Yeah, and that's an important thing to highlight. It's not necessarily just vaccine intelligence. I guess this is also just classic geopolitical espionage in the sense that, I mean, it makes a lot of sense for someone that's an adversary of the United States to know what the responses are going to be within the government or medical companies in order to either block it or make trouble, because clearly a weakened U.S. will help everyone else's position. And I think right now what we're seeing is they want to know what Trump's going to do next, because it seems pretty unpredictable.
Yeah, unpredictable is almost like a compliment to Donald Trump, right? But I think you hit another very important point. Like, this is not just about, finding a vaccine or finding a way to save lives. This is also more traditional geopolitics, you know, trying to find out what the governments, your enemies are thinking behind the scenes. It's also about probably trying to find out if, you know, for example, the numbers of infections and deaths are really what they appear to be, right? It's possible that at the beginning of this, especially the U.S. was like, oh, is it really, has China really been this good at containing the virus? And, you know, we've seen just today that the White House has announced that hospitals and healthcare facilities have been ordered to send COVID data directly to the White House and not to the CDC. And a lot of health experts are worried that this is a way to perhaps, reduce the numbers and make it seem like things are going better. So this is something that, like, China would be interested to know, right? Because there's also an aspect of disinformation and propaganda between these two superpowers. China is trying to position itself as the new world leaders, saying, you know, we responded better. We are going to make the vaccine first, and stuff like that. And so yeah, they're interested to see how the U.S. is responding.
Yeah, I mean, my own intelligence sources, I remember early on when this was going on, were telling me that they were wondering at all what happened in China and whether or not it was true in terms of the severity of it, the numbers that were being reported, because they just didn't know. I think a lot of people don't know, especially when you had a bunch of journalists expelled from the country earlier this year, gathering information on China and somewhere like Wanzhou was just almost impossible. So I think that's when nations do turn to their intelligence to get the real data, the real information, to then sort of forecast a response to a major adversary.
Yeah, in some ways, the fact that countries like China or even North Korea are so closed and so good at controlling what information comes out of them makes it easier for them to then focus on other governments. You know, like, yes, China has a lot more open source intelligence about how the U.S. is responding to this than the other way around. Like, we don't know if, like, the Chinese numbers are real. They've lied about very important stuff before. So yeah, there's a sort of like an imbalance there that's by definition, because the Western world is mostly democracies with very open information worlds, a lot of press freedom, whereas in China, it's obviously the opposite. And as you said, very recently, they have ramped this up by expelling journalists, also the recent national security law in Hong Kong. They're doing all sorts of things to keep information even more within their borders.
And, you know, there's another aspect to this too, is cybercrime. Cybercriminals using this entire event to do lots of things.
Yeah, this is probably the least surprising thing about this whole story, right? Like, every time there is a major news story, cybercriminals will try to take advantage of that to, you know, screw some people and steal their money. It's almost like, I've seen so many like PR pitches about, oh, you know, like hackers are trying to take advantage of the earthquake in, you know, Haiti or something to steal money from citizens. And here we're seeing the same, like cyber criminals from all over the world are sending phishing emails, creating fake websites, and then sending them to hospitals, private citizens, in an attempt to like steal money, perhaps redirect wire transfers, you know, taking advantage of the, you know, both the fear and the panic surrounding COVID-19, and also the fact that, you know, everyone is working from home. Perhaps they don't have the same resources to screen emails, and just perhaps they're just more distracted because we're all stressed and we're all like, you know, dealing with all this major pandemic.
Yep. And I think this won't be the end of our conversations about the hacker wars or whatever goes on, because, you know, we're not that close to the vaccine yet. And we're also, you know, we're not even close to the rollout of it. And when the rollout happens, I mean, I think if there is a vaccine that works and another country doesn't have it, what's going to happen then? And I think we're going to have more conversations on this topic.
Yeah, I think that will be the big, the million-dollar questions for the next few years, or months and years. What happens when a country or a company develops the vaccine first? Like, will countries come together and share? And will it be sort of like a, you know, a positive story where the world comes together against a common enemy? Or will we see, you know, the US or China use this as a way to assert their dominance over the rest of the world? And also, let's not forget that, you know, this is an election year in the US, so the next few months will be very busy.
It will be. Well, thank you, Lozo, for being back on the show. I will be speaking to you again. Always a pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.